Hello and welcome to the Ashley Taylor Wellness Podcast. This is your host, Ashley. On this podcast, we talk about all things beauty, health, wellness, and optimization. I strongly believe that one size does not fit all. Wellness isn't just about the absence of dis-ease. It's also about feeling our best, knowing how to take care of ourselves, and learning to listen to and honor our needs. I am a nurse of over 10 years turned coach, and I have learned so much about both conventional and alternative options, and I'm here to help you expand your options. I'm also here to inspire you to learn new ways to improve your quality of life and take your power back. I'm so excited that you're here, and let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to the Ashley Taylor Wellness Podcast. Today's guest is a friend of mine. His name is Joe Lahate. He is in business development for Pulse PEMF. So we met back in 2020 in the beginning of everything through a mutual friend who noticed that we had a lot of similar perspectives and questions about what was happening or not happening at that time. And we have become really good friends. And Joe is very passionate about PEMF. And I've learned a lot from him. A lot of you ask me questions, and I think the best person to explain it would be Joe. So I'm so grateful that you're here today and that you can help us understand more about PEMF, what it does, what it can potentially help with, maybe who it's not for, and whatever else we find that is relevant to share. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ashley. It's great to be here. Yep.
Yeah.
Love it.
So 2020, just let's start there. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. And when our mutual friend Sky, you know, kind of suggested, I think it was on Instagram that we were posting similar information at the time. And she said, this is somebody you should probably meet and connect with. Ashley, I think you guys would get along and you guys seem to think alike. And so we've just had a little bit of history, a little bit of I can't believe it's been almost four years.
Yeah. So I've seen you at conferences, you've come to Arizona, and actually when you came to Arizona, you were here for Pulse and PEMF and getting that set up in some clinics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The last time we were there, we were at a conference with some stem cell docs. Yeah, we have several clients in the Scottsdale area, in the Phoenix area. So whenever I get back to Scottsdale, yeah, always hit you up and always hit up, you know, six or seven of our clients.
So tell us a little bit about it, because PEMF has become more mainstream. Would you consider it mainstream at this point or not yet?
No, not really. I mean, the reason I say that is historically the market, and I think this translates to all of PEMF, but certainly with the company I represent, Pulse, the market has historically been chiropractic primarily. Even after 17 years of our company being in business, I can still go to a chiropractic conference and half of these people don't know what PEMF is. I don't really know what to attribute that to, who to give the credit or the blame for that necessarily. Yeah. But no, I think it's still very under the radar, even in our primary targeted markets. It's more emerging now in a bunch of other markets, from biohacking to professional sports to the private consumer, the family market. So lots of different verticals opening up. I wouldn't say it's mainstream. It's sort of a double-edged sword. I like
this is
being
true.
Under the radar in some respects.
Well, I think anyone listening to this podcast or anyone who knows me, I'm all about freedom. I'm all about whatever's right for you. I think there are great options in the conventional world. Bless the hospital for surgery. And there are medications that I would certainly want if I got hit by a bus. I also think that that's not where you go to get healthy. It's certainly not a wellness center. That's for damn sure. But there is a gap between those who are hospitalized and those who are not. So a lot of what I was talking about, a lot of what you were talking about, you know, we're both really big into just critical thinking, which I know is probably a bad word today, but does this make sense? And are we really doing the right things? Are we giving our bodies the opportunities to thrive? Are we focusing on metabolic health? And without getting too far into the decisions people made or didn't make, I don't care what you do, but I know that I'm going to do everything I can to support my metabolic health. As far as PEMF, how does that tie into health? And maybe let's back up a little bit. What does PEMF stand for? Like, talk to me like I'm brand new. I've never heard of it before.
Sure.
Yeah.
PEMF 101, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So PEMF, it simply stands for pulsed electromagnetic fields. Some people call it PEMF for short, a little bit of a tongue twister. But really what it does is it's meant to exercise and stimulate low energy and depleted cells in the body. It does that using a safe, no side effect pulsed magnetic field that's applied to the body either in a full body way, in our case, laying on a full body bed or sitting in a chair where most of your body is receiving this energy, or taking a smaller accessory and targeting a specific location of the body in case there's some issue going on or just a need for additional energy in those areas. That's really how it's applied. It's meant to energize everything a cell does. And so if a cell is helping the body to heal or helping the body to detox, everything in the body's made of cells, and frankly, they're all batteries or capacitors meant to take in a charge and hold it. And that serves the body in numerous myriad ways. If people just need a little bit of an extra boost in energy, relaxation, rest, helping to heal from something, recover from something, regulate something, regenerate something, all the things that the body is designed, frankly, to do on its own, because all the body does really is heal and adapt to any situation, just doesn't always have enough energy in the foundational levels, in the cellular foundational level of the body to promote the most optimal or the most timely, let's say, or the most thorough healing process. And that's really what PEMF is meant to do, is just provide that infusion of really bulk energy into that, either, like I said, the whole body systemically or specific areas of the body that need address.
It's not delivering a nutrient for energy. It's delivering a charge, meaning voltage, meaning...
Yeah, exactly. Meaning voltage, which I would go so far as to say is a nutrient, because so much of the body operates on electricity. And so if you didn't have any electricity capability in your body, your heart would stop and you'd fall off this chair. And so would you. And so it makes sense that to support the body's electrical need, just like you support the body's need for certain other nutrients like vitamins and minerals, you might take a nutrition supplement in those cases. I would think of this the same way, although it can also be looked at as, instead of a nutrient and a vitamin, it can also be looked at as analgesic, an aspirin. If there is a specific issue that's of concern and that you want to address with this energy, it can do both of those things. It can address a short-term need, whether that's acute or chronic, that you just want to address specifically. And it can certainly be a long-term nutritive vitamin and part or even the foundation of really any wellness strategy that you might have.
That's a good point that you make, because when we think about nutrition, most of us consider that to be things that we eat, things that we take. But even in my coaching, I expand nourishment to include just anything you're consuming, anything that you're taking in. Sunlight, light is a nutrient for sure. More is not necessarily better. But all of these things we're consuming are either adding to our well-being or not supporting our well-being. So that's a very interesting thing. You said if it's helping with energy, is it also helping with blood flow, or what else is able to get into the cell?
Yeah. And so when we energize the cell, we are sort of optimizing and supporting the cell's purpose of creating mitochondria and creating that ATP energy. Even if you read studies on PEMF going years back. And I should mention that PEMF is not a new thing, not a new technology, not a new, you know, tool to support health and wellness. If you look back at studies and read the history of it, it's really been around probably about 100 years or more in use on humans and animals, which is another interesting aspect of PEMF, not only for humans, but a lot of horses and animals benefit from PEMF as well. But when we energize that, the capabilities of the cell, we're also increasing circulation, which increases oxygen delivery. And then in energizing and sort of potentializing that cell with a charge, you're now helping cells not clump together. And so if you're looking at issues that were the healing, in most cases anyway, we'll do this, require the blood to flow to the microvasculature of the body, get through those tight hallways, especially if you're looking at something like stem cell therapy, where you're either using your own bone marrow to help support knee cartilage or something like that, or an organ where blood has to be able to flow into those tight capillaries. And if those cells are not potentially negatively charged, basically, they tend to clump up and they sort of get together, and they're not able to get through those tight hallways that way. If we negatively charge those cells, now they repel each other and now they can flow better. Sort of in layman's terms, you know, the flow is much easier that way and reach further places.
It kind of sounds like what some of the data looks like from grounding. Do you notice similar things from the way that the cells look from grounding versus PEMF?
Yes, totally. And so a really simplified way to look at PEMF would be just a little more extra strength, industrial strength grounding. And okay. I'm a big proponent of grounding. I go outside every morning, stand next to my mailbox, my shoes are off, I'm on the grass, and I'm looking at the sunrise. That's part of my every morning routine when I'm not lucky enough to be on the road, you know, running through an airport. And I also, right at this moment when we're speaking, have my feet on a grounding mat underneath my desk, and I use a grounding sheet on my bed. So I am a big believer in that as well. This just gets you, what I've found is that PEMF, especially different flavors of PEMF, will provide different sort of degrees. PEMF, you can usually count on to provide you with a little bit more of an efficient supportive healing mechanism for something that you might be dealing with.
A lot of people ask about biohacking and why is this really necessary? Do I really need a red light if I can get it from the sun? And my answer is, get what you can from nature first. Of course, biohacks are here to supplement, just like we eat food, but is our food as nourishing as it was in the past? Perhaps not. So perhaps supplements could be helpful. And if you are able to live a life where you're not on screens, you're not under all this artificial light, you're living more in harmony with nature, maybe it wouldn't be as valuable, but it is something that is there to help us live in harmony with nature in our modern world. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And it becomes more and more of a need for most of us every day, every month, as society, quote unquote, evolves. We get more technological, not less. Right. We have more questionable ingredients in our food, not less. Same with the water, same with the air, same with our lifestyles. We do more, not less, usually, each year that we live, basically, until we're fortunate enough to maybe put aside our careers and maybe enjoy the benefits of all of that work and all of that saving and all of that investing, let's just say. But by the time we get to that point, we also want to be able to enjoy those remaining years as well and not just live them, right? So yeah. Health span versus lifespan. But I totally agree with you. I think a lot of times biohacking, and I'm involved with it just like you are, I think biohacking sometimes overcomplicates the program, so to speak. And people don't remember all the time that there are a lot of free things, a lot of easy things that you can take advantage of. But when you need support, when you need efficiency and optimization, you simply have to fit something into your schedule. A lot of these tools are phenomenal for that.
Someone I can think about that might really benefit from this would be someone who travels a lot. Like, let's say you're a professional athlete. And one of the things, I have an Oura ring. I believe you have one too. Okay.
Yep.
So airplanes and time travel, changing time zones, which feels like time travel, it destroys me. I'm so thrown off for days. Whether I go east or west, I struggle with it. So I want to do everything I can to support my body. And one of those things has been
Once I land, I get my shoes off, as long as I'm not at the LA airport or anything. And as soon as I get to a relatively non-electrical place, I will ground and I notice my feet become kind of red. So is that blood flow? I mean, I don't really know what's happening, but it's interesting that my feet get really red when I put them on the ground. And then it seems to kind of calm down a little bit. But that is a practice that I have been doing. And it seems, I don't know if it's just placebo or whatnot, but I truly feel like it is a really nice way to support my body. And then I like to go to Whole Foods and get all my groceries for wherever I am. But grounding barefoot first thing after flights. So do people who travel frequently and have the ability to bring something like this with them, is that part of their recovery?
Definitely. Definitely. And for the reasons you mentioned, and simply for jet lag, when jet lag is just setting in and either you can't go to sleep or you're too tired, it can provide you with energy or rest. So when you provide the body with, and when I say energy, it can allow you to perform. This is the distinction I'm trying to draw. Mm-hmm. Performance rather than rest. It can do both because the body uses energy for both. And so it's a matter of what has to happen for Ashley right now. Is it that you need rest? Well, then if we infuse you with energy, you may want to rest and you may have a really good rest. Or do you need to perform? Let's do it in a slightly different way. Infuse that energy. And now you have energy and you're ready to do something. But I would certainly say that as people get, and this is a line I usually use, is that if when you get more successful, generally you deal more with jet lag. And so the more successful you are, in whether you're an athlete or a celebrity or a high scale business person, and you're traveling a lot, which is usually part of the package when you're in one of those careers, one of those lifestyles, you should have a way to wind down from jet lag and not be wired when you get somewhere, but be able to modulate, you know, your nervous system. And especially for athletes, I like discussing that the progression of success as an athlete, and really this can go for any walk of life, but I sort of back it out from success comes from high performance usually. And that could be physical, it could be mental, it could whatever line of work you happen to be in. To succeed, you usually have to perform at a high level. Well, to perform at a high level, you have to train in order to perform, right? And you have to train at a high level. In order to train at a high level, you have to make sure you recover well. In order to recover well, you need to make sure that you rest well. And the one that most people forget, which I just touched on, in order to rest optimally, you need the right type of energy in the body. And so the foundational piece to success in my thesis here is infuse the right type of energy, consume the right type of energy. And what I mean by that is not Monster and coffee and these things where there's a misconceived notion of what energy might be and how jittery it might make me. And Joe, that's not going to help me to rest. I mean, real energy, the kind that we've been sort of inferring so far and talking about so far. Then you can rest, then you can recover, then you can train, then you can perform, and then you will succeed, you know, really in any walk of life. So athlete or anybody, really that foundational piece is energy.
I'm really glad you brought up that because in the coaching program that I'm doing right now, we use the Oura Ring and we're looking at resilience and HRV. And I don't know if you have that new feature, the resilience feature on your Oura Ring.
I don't yet. I better look into it.
So it's in the bottom right corner if you have the app, and it puts you into five categories. And in order to score exceptional, which I believe it's exceptional, strong, solid, adequate, limited. And in order to score exceptional, you need high stress, high recovery, which is very interesting because it's actually been dinging me a little bit because I haven't had enough stress. I also was using the sauna 5 days a week and I stopped 2 months ago just because of, you know, the life changes going on. And I think that was a stressor. And we look at stress as being all bad, but just like you said, in order to be that athlete, You need to train at a high level. You need to recover at a high level. And all rest is not really rest if our mind is elsewhere or if we're depleted. So how, when we're resting, what is the goal? That our body can do a series of repair processes, especially when we're sleeping. But it does need energy for healing. It does need energy for detoxification even.
Yeah.
So if we have low cellular energy, might that look like reduced mitochondrial function or performance? Or what would you say for that?
Yeah. I mean, the body's going to steal where it needs to steal the energy. It's got to get those things done that you were just referring to. And if it needs to take all the energy to do that, then you won't have enough energy to regenerate. And for the processes to take effect that you expect to take effect, when you wake up the next morning, you expect you've regenerated, recovered, different degrees of repair have taken place. Well, if everything was stolen, you know, energy-wise, because you ate 5 minutes before you went to bed, for example, you know, that are most people are aware of and in tune with.
You'd be surprised.
You know, you're going to pull from resources that should be doing some possibly more important things, you know, while you're resting.
Yeah, it's rest or digest. I know we call it rest and digest because it's doing one of those two when we're in that state. But if we're eating too closely to bedtime or if our mind is elsewhere, we're not truly recovering. Whether you're an athlete, you're a regular person, you just want a better quality of life, you need to make sure that you are pushing yourself, which to me doesn't mean hitting the override button. Maybe with belief systems, maybe for athlete level training, but the recovery has got to be there or else you're not going to be able to push to the next level. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that. And you just have to make time for yourself. Things that we think about sort of in the biohacking community, I'll just put it that way. We have to be thinking about sort of our sleep habits. The phrase I've been hearing recently is sleep hygiene. And I know you just had Molly Eastman on recently too. And so of course she's an expert in this, but I mean, just little things that you can do. Take the last few hours of the night and try not to be staring at one of these screens that we're looking at right now. You know, open up a book, for goodness sake, and read it with a nice light that doesn't have a lot of blue light in it, or maybe use one of the red lamps in your room or one of the light panels that you have on a shelf, the red light panel that you might have on your shelf. Try to use some of that or blue blocking glasses. I mean, that might be one category where it's just light focused, the right type of light for the last 3 hours. Then it's the eating. Then it's the alcohol. It's amazing how there's low hanging fruit. If you have some of these, I'm not going to call them bad habits because it's pretty much pervasive. Common habits.
Yeah.
But if you have even the slightest of these, if you make the slightest improvements and you can track it with something like an Oura Ring, let's say, which you probably teach in your program, your Oura Ring program, you can really be encouraged by some really quick and easy low-hanging fruit that you probably thought was a lot harder than what you just accomplished in a couple of days to get yourself off and running onto that path.
Definitely. A lot of people have felt that in order to lose weight, I need to diet and exercise more, but actually that could backfire. It did for me in 2018. I had an episode yesterday with someone who was working out, doing all the work. She gained 50 pounds. There was something deeper going on. And whatever it is, what I like about PEMF, what I like about a lot of these modalities that they're non-specific in the sense that it will work where it needs to work. NAD is like that. So wherever in the body that you need it is where you might feel it the most. I would also say that is true in my own personal experience. This is not medical advice, just sharing, with ozone therapy, really good for inflammation and infection. So I may not know what's happening, but when I'm not feeling well, that's one of my go-tos. That's also increasing oxygenation and other things. So this is another way to do it. And I have done it before, and I'm going to play devil's advocate though for a minute. So when someone says, AKA me, PEMF is still EMF, what would you say to that?
Yeah, it's super common question and pretty simple, easy answer too. Easy for most people to understand. It's the electrosmog we deal with. And we're all trying to defend ourselves from it somehow. The 5G, the millimeter waves, the microwaves, all the screens, again, you know, the cell phones up to your head, all of those things, trying to minimize those as much as possible because of their effects on cellular uptake of oxygen, you know, hydration, all of those things that kind of can lead to a bunch of downstream issues. PEMF deals, those are all super high frequency. So we've all heard megahertz, gigahertz, terahertz, millimeter waves. Those are very fast frequencies and frequencies that the body are aberrant to the body. The body does not know how to process those. They're foreign. They haven't been around, you know, they haven't been sort of foisted on humanity for all of history. So there didn't used to, you know, be an issue with these types of things. On the other hand, PEMF deals in usually single to double digit hertz. So we're instead of talking about thousands of hertz or higher, we're talking about one to maybe a couple hundred hertz, which is significantly lower. The exposure to the body with PEMF is also much quicker. So much slower and much quicker in and out of the body, not a more because when they're fast, they tend to be almost constant. They're that fast. Think of a frequency hitting you, you know, over a million times a second. That's pretty fast. It's almost constant. Almost constantly being exposed to this frequency that the body doesn't know how to handle. Whereas with this, it's hitting the body in a nanosecond pulse, and it's only occurring a very few times per second rather than thousands or millions of times per second. There have even been studies done where PEMF can help to mitigate or offset some of the effects of the electrosmog type of EMF, you know, that we try to avoid.
Okay. So the way I look at it is not all bacteria is bad. Not all parasites are bad, although too much of something, just like anything, just like exercise, just like sleep, even just like water. So more is not better. And maybe even though it is EMF, there is a nuance there, and it's not just it has EMF, so it's bad. And I think that was where I started. I'm just being very honest with you.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And I hear that a lot. So that's actually really common.
Okay. Next question. So if I am using PEMF, how important is it for me to keep cell phones or any type of technology away from that field? Is that important? Is that going to take away from the effects?
I'll speak to our particular product. It's a very high energy, high intensity magnetic field. Yeah, we usually recommend you holding your phone probably at least a foot away from it. So put it on the table next store. That's fine. It doesn't have to be in the next room or anything like that. I wouldn't say to have your phone resting on the pads, like on the bed or on the chair when you're there, or in your pocket while you're sitting in the chair. That's right against the magnetic field. And I'm more concerned with someone's device malfunctioning than I am with it taking away the benefits of PEMF for the person using it, or for any damage to come to the actual PEMF device. I'm more worried about somebody, you know, somebody's phone malfunctioning because they have it too close versus any other concerns.
And I asked you briefly before we started, but CGMs, you could go either way. You ask the person if they feel comfortable with it. So you've seen it where it hasn't been an issue, but it's just one of those things where you give a disclaimer.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen an issue with one, you know, frankly.
I've never had an issue going through TSA PreCheck, although I don't use the body scanner or anything like that. And if you are still using the body scanner, please invest in PreCheck for $85 so you don't have to take everything out and go through that and or get a pat down. But I have not had any issues with mine going through the other machine.
Yep.
So as far as... we're not here to diagnose, prescribe, treat, none of that. We are here to talk about things that help support the body, and we want to identify healing opportunities and figure out what can give the body the support it needs so it can heal itself. That's the way, if you ask me. It's right. Not like we can't use things. It's not that the body is dumb and people say, oh, if you have a liver and kidneys, you don't ever need to do a detox. But look at the world that we're living in. And I don't really care what anyone says. I'm living proof for myself. And a lot of the things that I've been told, oh, there's nothing there, have been some of the most life-changing things, like coffee enemas, like ozone. So What can you speak to as far as what you have seen PEMF help people with as far as helping their body help themselves?
I love that question. And the answer is going to seem ridiculous. I'll just level with you here. I've heard almost everything. It's really quite crazy. And when I say that, I want to give the caveat that I don't necessarily, I think our technology is great and I think PEMF is great, but I'm more bragging on the body's own ability to heal and adapt if given the proper nutrients and support. All the body does is heal and adapt, you know, and the classic, of course, is, you know, you cut your hand and, you know, 3 weeks later, you're like, where's the cut, right? Mm-hmm. And it healed. Well, that's what the body does. That's what it's designed to do. Sometimes, as we know, that doesn't occur as thoroughly, maybe, or as quickly as we might expect, or as it may have done when we were younger, even. Our ability, our body's ability, our cells' ability to hold a charge, perhaps, has diminished. And so thereby the need on some occasions, or as a matter of course, wellness, you know, a wellness strategy is provide your body with that energetic, nutritive, electrical support, a charge, if you will. Especially, as I said, as we age, we all remember that when we first get a brand new phone, every time, every 2 years or whenever we get new phones these days, every 1 year sometimes, the first few days are super impressive because you're like talking on it all this time and the thing is still on like 80%. You're like, this is the best phone ever. Well, 2 years later, that same phone already needs to be charged at noon, right? So made of batteries, and it can do millions and millions of things as long as the battery's charged. If we think of our bodies the same way, since every cell in the body is a capacitor, is a battery, we can draw a parallel to that. We're able to do amazing things as human beings in the way we've been designed. But when our battery's not charged, it may not occur as thoroughly or as quickly as we might like.
Definitely. Yeah. So this can also facilitate energy into the cell. And also, if that is more open, would that also allow things to leave the cell?
Yeah. So for both assimilation, uptake of nutrients, oxygen, hydration, the things that help heal the body, right? And better flow and use of those. But also, yes, elimination of metabolic waste and toxins. What tends to happen with cells is that when there's pathology, injury, surgery, stress, fatigue, overuse, jet lag, you know, whatever it might be that we sort of deem an issue needs to be that needs to be resolved or addressed, cells tend to be clumped up, you know, low energy, depleted, and they could be literally think of, you know, in lack of a better term, think of them as shriveled up raisin.
Yeah.
Instead of a big juicy grape that might be locking in those toxins and that waste that needs to escape. And so things are lingering in the body and that we're just not resolving, or maybe we're lethargic or not getting the right rest, or we feel like crap. These things are just stuck and the good things can't get in when the cells are like that. And so with the stimulation of the pulsed magnetic field, we like to use that term, cellular stimulation, cellular exercise. Envision the raisin going from this to this, more open, and now better assimilation and better elimination can take place. And to your point earlier with the overuse, You, just as you can overdo physical exercise, you said pretty much everything has a point of overuse. You can also overuse cellular exercise, just like physical exercise. And so listen to your body. Listen, you know, whether you've had a response of a detoxification where you might have some symptomology, that kind of thing. You just don't feel right. Or you might have some soreness. Oh, I have a shoulder issue I want to address with PMF. So I think I'll get on it for 2 hours at the highest possible power because I'm one of those people who, you know, really likes to get aggressively worked on. That's all fine until you're sore the next morning. And now you might not think PMF is a good idea anymore. But maybe it's just that you're the type of personality who wanted to give a little too much too quickly. There we go, Ash. And then now it's a matter of getting back on the horse, going lower, hydrating, because think of it as like when you go to the gym and you work out your quads too hard, let's say, 2 days later. Well, do you sit down on a couch for 2 weeks until your quads feel perfect again before you go to the gym? No, you go to the gym maybe a day or two later and you work a different body part, or you just do lighter weight, more reps. However you might do that, you're making sure you're hydrating, you're making sure you're resting, and things just even out. Very similar lexicon with cellular exercise as physical exercise in all those different regards.
I think that was what happened for me, is that I loved it. I will be honest. I went and I used Pulse and I wanted to do it every day. And I wanted to do the highest setting that I could. I'm like, no, turn it up more. And they're like, okay, if you feel like it's okay, but I'm like, just, and then I found that it was too much for me. And I'm like, I don't know that I like PMF. So I will stand corrected and say that more is not better. And with anything, I use this example on a discovery call with coaching clients. You don't start bench pressing 200 pounds on day one. So why do I think that I'm going to be doing like level 10, or I don't know what the level is, but just level 10, 45 minutes, or I don't remember the time, but just I went all in many days in a row. And just like with anything else, you're right. You don't want to give yourself 2 weeks just because you have sore muscles, but knowing, has my body had enough time to adjust to what I have? I mean, in a way it is a stressor, not necessarily a bad thing. Just like the sauna is not a bad thing. It's amazing for our health, but it is a stressor. Mm-hmm. That Herx reaction that could happen because it is a very powerful modality. How yeah. might that present in people? I think for me, it was anger. It was a big emotional release, some other things, but what might happen if someone overdoes it and isn't mindful and using it with proper supervision or guidance, or they're like, no, I can handle more.
Yeah, certainly for soreness, it's just what we just talked about. You know, if you're working on a shoulder or an elbow or something and you just get sore, it's like, it would be like going to the gym. And if we all gave up working out the first time our pecs got sore or something from bench pressing, nobody would be in the gym. You would have to find out a new industry for fitness. But as far as like a detoxification thing, you might feel some nausea, you might feel some headache, you might feel some sleeplessness.
After or during or both?
No, I would say after.
After, typically. Okay.
Yeah, I would say maybe the evening of, or maybe shortly thereafter, a couple of hours after your Pulse session, your PMF session.
Is it causing the cells to vibrate and that's what's doing it? Or it's not, because in a sound bath, that's what happens. So this is more so energy directed towards the cell. And we know that that voltage is how things get in and out of the cell to begin with. So it's not a vibration per se.
It's kind of the same thing as when you get a massage, and, you know, massage is going to increase circulation, increase oxygenation to a specific area. They always tell you to drink a bunch of water after you get a massage,
right?
Because what happens is those toxins that were trapped in those cells, and now you've exercised the cell open with energy. So the cell has an easier time, more efficient time expelling those wastes and toxins, like we said earlier. And if those wastes and toxins are such that they might make you not feel so good going systemic in your body without being flushed out, if they're sticking around, you want to make sure you're hydrating and getting those flushed out. So you may even look into something along the lines of a binder, like a fulvic humic type complex, again, with some electrolytes, because, you know, if you're detoxing, you're probably getting rid of some of the electrolytes that you want to keep and some of the minerals you want to keep. Just as like if you're doing a sauna, you want to replace those. So it's always a great idea to, you know, be on some type of hydration and maybe in some of these cases, even a binder to help flush those toxins from the body. And typically when you've gone over that hump, you've gotten past that point, unless you do that again and you're highly toxic going mm-hmm. into it again and you overuse it again, that's kind of rare that somebody would be in that same exact situation twice. But once you get over that hump, it's usually clear sailing.
I'm glad you brought up the binder because that was going to be one of my questions. Sometimes in the sauna, especially an infrared sauna or coffee enemas or perhaps PEMF or even a sound bath, those things, what happens with the coffee enema? It goes in, it goes to the liver. You're going to be dumping bile and all sorts of things. And if a person is brand new to this and they're very toxic, it might be really challenging to hold. So some people will take binders ahead of time. I didn't really know about that when I started them 7 years ago. So I would just evacuate shortly after when my body told me it was time. I got the urge, but with PEMF, I was so relaxed. I was like, I don't want to get up. I mean, it really, I felt so chill, but to the point where I didn't want to stop. And then I later had, I think it was probably the next day where I had that. So that is my personality. I go in hard. I want to do everything. And I think that was a mistake that I made, but it does really make sense. And then you also mentioned hydration. So why is hydration before and after going to be absolutely essential for PEMF, other things, but specifically PEMF as well?
The easy answer is just think of minerals, electrolytes. Electrolytes hold electrical charge. Mm-hmm. They help the body maintain an electrical charge. If we're bringing in an exogenous electrical charge to the cells through PEMF, it's a good idea to support the body with something that's going to hold on to that charge rather than plain water, no hydration. Now you can pulse pretty much all you want and you're not going to get all of the benefits of charging that cell.
Personal question, a little bit of a tangent. Sure. What type of water do you drink? Because on Instagram, I have gotten in trouble for a lot of things. Didn't think water would be one of the top three, but here we are. Yeah. So what type of water do you drink? No wrong answers, unless it has fluoride.
My go-tos are Mountain Valley.
Yeah, spring.
The green glass bottles. Gerald Steiner, the clear glass bottles. My Mountain Spring water that I find on findaspring.com, which is about a half an hour from my house. And I go and fill up about 10 3-gallon jugs of that every so often. And we basically use that for cooking and for making coffee and things like that. But when I'm just like grabbing a water to drink, I usually drink one of the ones that I mentioned. But we have a great water filter, and I usually add electrolytes if it's the plain filtered water that I'm drinking, like regular still water.
Like a whole home filter you have?
No, I have a countertop, just a drip filter. Okay. From some friends of mine in Florida that have a really good one. I like it because it filters out fluoride and also all the microcontaminants, 200 plus microcontaminants with one filter. And it lasts for like 5,000 gallons. You can clean it and then continue to use it in most cases. So I really like that one. The decanter looks kind of cool. You know, it's metal and glass, so it looks kind of cool that way.
Okay. I drink distilled water, which I've heard RO and distilled water are dead water. We're thinking about energy and hydration and all of that. So to structure water, have you heard of something called the Mayu, M-A-Y-U?
I have not.
It's a spiralizer. So I think that's very interesting. Yeah. That can help. Yes. The reason why this is important, because people will think, I drink 8 glasses of water today, I'm hydrated. Well, if you're peeing every hour, you might actually not be hydrated, especially if it's reverse osmosis or distilled water, which I do drink distilled water. I know for a fact it removes everything because I've tested it with my TDS meter. It'll go from 750 to 0. But that water is acidic. That water needs minerals and electrolytes added back in. And when I do, the pH goes back up. So hydration is so important, because if you're going to be using this voltage to deliver this energy and you're dehydrated, what might happen or not happen in that case?
I would say at the very least, you're not receiving the full value of the technology. And okay, it's not cheap. Whether you buy a low cost PMF mat or a higher cost PMF system, you're still investing dollars right into it, or even going to an office to get sessions, you're still investing into it, and you want to make the most of your wellness investment, your wellness dollars, which I talk about this all the time, because I like to call PEMF the foundational biohack. And as we were just saying, sort of continuing on that path, adding PEMF to your wellness strategy can potentially enhance any of the other approaches that you have, whether it's nutritional, hydrational, movement oriented, or even other biohacks. You know, if you're doing compression, if you're doing a sauna, if you're doing hyperbaric, you know, HBOT, if you're doing an IV therapy, PEMF can potentially enhance all of those, because you're now doing those in a higher energy environment. And so I think anybody would agree that the body is going to better utilize really anything we do for it if there's more energy in the body versus less.
Yes.
And so we lay that foundational, I kind of call the PEMF the fertilizer, and I call really anything else you're doing that's mindful along the lines of your wellness as seeds, and you want those seeds to thrive. And so you provide that energized or fertilized environment for that to occur in a better way.
Something interesting you said, just as far as that foundation and the seeds and just having that energy. I work with Cellcore. I'm a big fan of many of their protocols. I haven't tried all of them, but many of them I really appreciate, and their education. And there is a Cellcore assessment form that I give to clients. And on the very first page, it's 13 pages, it has drainage on one side and has mitochondrial function on the other. And the reason that they added that, first, you used to have to do liver support, make sure your drainage was working properly before even thinking about detox. Why? Mm. Because it's like stirring up a bee's nest. So how important is proper drainage for something like this? Meaning your ability to have a bowel movement, your ability to breathe deeply. Do you need to make sure that your body is eliminating for this type of technology, or not as much as you would for sauna or something else?
I haven't given that a whole ton of thought, frankly, but I would just say that, to go back to our earlier point, your body will let you know if you're not ready
it. That is right? true. I can speak to that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of listening to what your body's telling you, following the signs and things like that. Now, in principle, it's not a good idea to wax your car before you wash it, right? Because you'll end up spending more money on wax, your shoulder will hurt, and the car will look like crap, basically. But if you make sure the area is prepared first, and now your investment in that wax, in that case, will be better, your arm won't hurt as much, and the car will look awesome. And so if you just take those foundational steps first, I typically will say that same thing with PEMF. If you've provided that energetic foundation to the body, now those things can occur in a little bit of a better way. And so you're spending, you know, less money on, you're not doing things over and over that are not getting the results that you expect, because you've prepared that terrain first, and kind of backing that up a little even before PEMF, your body will let you know.
Definitely. And the mitochondrial function, which is on the other part of this, is very important, because they do not want you to do a detox if you do not have the energy for it. And that was something that was more recently added, as far as I know, in the last couple of years, to make that consideration, because detoxification is such a energy expensive activity in the body. We think, oh, I just took some supplements, I'm going to carry on. Rest is so important. Sleep is so important, because there's a lot that happens during these processes. So while we have said, this is the second time now, you and I both love biohacking and we love all these things, you have to have that foundation. It may not necessarily harm you, like you're saying, but why spend more? Why not get the most out of your investment and do it properly?
And even along those lines, I just literally heard an interview today with Dr. Patrick Porter from BrainTap. And he actually was talking to the CEO of Pulse. So it caught my attention. I was like, hey, I want to listen to this. One of the things Dr. Porter said, he's a user of PEMF and of Pulse. And what he said is that with their neural check, BrainTap's HRV scan, I don't know if you've experienced it.
I haven't tried it, but I want to.
In order to get the best results from BrainTap, someone's energy level has to be at a certain level. So they will scan you. And then if you're not at that level, they'll suggest PEMF. That's one of the things they suggest to up the body's energy to now take full advantage of even the brain tap. And I wasn't thinking along those lines. He came out of his mouth. So I found that very interesting.
Huge fan of the brain tap as well. But I mean, that does make sense. Everything goes back to our state. If you're thinking about resilience, you think about, you mentioned listening to your body. High stress, high recovery, more is not always better. And for a lot of people, they're like, this is too confusing. I just want you to tell me this is good, this is bad. And more so, it's like, what is it that my body's telling me and how can I best support it? You know, one of the things about PEMF is that it can work on so many different things. So I don't know how deeply we got into this, but in your experience, what types of things and what types of people have you seen receiving benefits? This is not to diagnose or say this is here to cure anything, but just anecdotally, what have you seen?
To just lay the foundation for this, like almost any other biohack or any other wellness approach or therapy, it usually draws people who have been dealing with a specific issue for a long time. Whether that's something physical in the body where it's pain oriented or motion oriented or degeneration oriented, or something more sort of health, an autoimmune condition or some type of condition unresolved. And so they come to the biohacks and they come to the wellness world for a remedy to that specific situation. So no different than PEMF. People come to it primarily for pain or any other unresolved health concern. The other thing that people would come to it for is any type of recovery. So whether that be surgical, athletic, travel, stress-related type recovery. And then the third thing would be just generating and cultivating a long-term landscape of energetic wellness for you, yourself, and or your family going forward, sort of a resiliency builder versus a specific targeted, you know, solution to something. But having said that, we've seen a lot. We've seen almost anything. It's almost a fill in the blank. One of the most interesting things, and we sort of almost touched on this earlier, but maybe it'll kind of lead us down a path. I once had a 7-year-old child who was a chronic bedwetter for his whole life, basically. And the dad wanted to get a device for home, asked me, will this help this condition? And of course I said, I don't know, you know, and he put the young boy on it. And after only a few days, I got a text saying that Gideon got up in the middle of the night, went to the bathroom. So that was the first time ever. So That was amazing. And not that I would promise that, but that anything that I would even consider or fathom, you know, because most people do come to PEMF for the sore shoulder, the knee that just got injured, the ankle sprain, something chronic, the lower back, you know, those types of things. And I think when you talk about it going mainstream, it's not mainstream by any means, but it is getting more recognition for some of those more esoteric things that you may not have considered before. And again, I don't want to harp on it, but I just go back to the fact that the body is trying to normalize and trying to reconnect those signaling in that example from the bladder to the brain, with the bedwetting situation. So potentially it could be anything. Cells make up anything in the body, not only muscles and cartilage and things that can get sore with overuse, but nerves and blood and skin and hair and teeth and gums and really anything. So it can be very foundational in that way. And we've seen almost anything you could possibly imagine. I just did a story on my Instagram or a reel the other day for a client that I visited in Texas. And there was a woman there with a condition that I had never heard of. And it's called Charcot-Marie tooth. It is a neurologic condition. And I looked it up. It's called that because of the three people who determined the symptomology and the origins of that condition. But it's a neurologic condition where circulation in the extremities, normally the feet, is affected big time. On my reel, this woman went on to say how much relief she gets from just being able to add the additional charge. She called it charging her battery. Yeah. That's literally what she called it. And the relief that comes from that and the fact that she said it was better than Advil. And so again, not making any claims, but I thought that was a really cool story from a real life person. And that's just really the most recent one that I can remember. But we've heard stories like that over the years in almost anything you can think of. And again, I think it just comes back to the body's ability to normalize itself, just giving the proper energy. You don't know what you're going to get necessarily, which is a cool thing too for a lot of people, because they come in with one thing specific that they want to address. And they might say, you know, it's my lower back. We sit them down, we do a demonstration, we give them a half hour session. Maybe it's at a trade show or something like that. They get up, they feel looser and lighter, and they're walking away feeling better. And then the next day we might see them and just ask them how they're doing and how they're feeling. And they might say something like, well, I don't know what you did. My back feels fine, but I don't know what you did to me because I slept awesome last night. Some of those pleasant surprises, for sure.
For anybody listening who thinks, oh, we're electrical beings and that's woo-woo, I get it. I'm one of the most critical, cynical people ever. And I was so all in the conventional world. And I, once again, think there's a time and a place for it. But it wasn't until I was a patient myself. And I'm like, hey, these options are not actually, I mean, I'm not against drugs or pharmaceuticals, but they weren't even helping me feel better. So I was willing to explore and do all these things. So the concept of being an electrical being, frequency, like, that was a stretch for me. I'm just going to be totally honest. And then I think about 2021, I'm in the hospital working again due to everything that's going on. And I was like, happy to go back. And somebody had a code, meaning their heart stopped. And so the whole team goes in and we're trying to get a reading of this person's heart. And it's just artifact. Can't see anything. And one of the people said, hey, is there a phone on the bed? And there was a phone on the bed. Took the phone, put it away, and we were able to get the rhythm. Wow. So just because we can't see certain things like EMF, like the wind, I suppose, even, you know, your faith, like just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Maybe there will be PEMF goggles where you can actually see it coming out. I don't know. It is absolutely true that we are electrical beings, because even when you go through TSA, they'll say, if you have a pacemaker, please let us know. That is an electrical device that sends electrical signals for the heart. So I know it might seem out there like electricity, I'm not a battery, but perhaps in many ways we are. And I think that was not something I learned in nursing school. It was something that took me a while to grasp. You know how stubborn I can be, but I'm really seeing how beneficial it is. You're not saying this, I am, but someone that I know who's healing from a six letter C word that rhymes with dancer. I don't even know if you can say that anymore sometimes, has found a lot of research supporting how it can support her body's healing process. I'm not going to use the C word that rhymes with blur. I feel like I have to talk in code all the time because of the algos. But anyhow, it's really amazing as something to support the body. So look at it in that way. We're here to identify things that can help the body. And I love how nonspecific it is. Just like you said, you might go in for one thing and find that it helps with something else. Because yeah. when the body has what it needs, it can really do all of this. We just got to get out of the way. And chiropractic is all about really removing interference. So it makes sense that chiropractors would have been on board because I think they know the body better than anybody. I mean, there's some really great doctors and naturopathic doctors and all that. But I feel like chiropractors, at least the ones that I meet, they get it. They get it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're super progressive. They look holistically at what's going on in the body. And their whole thing is if we get the body aligned and the spine aligned, then the body can heal itself.
Yes.
So just like we've been talking about, we say, if you energize the body can heal itself. And so the combination of the PMF, the energy provision, and the alignment provision, I think that's why it's been such a really good sort of collaboration and you know, vertical market to work with. Mm-hmm. And you brought up something earlier. I don't want people to lose in the sort of cellular energy science conversation how good PEMF feels. Some flavors of PEMF. Now, there's a lot of PEMF out there that you can't feel. You don't feel anything, mm-hmm. and they still have benefits. There are some that you can feel, and it feels like a magnetic massage. And if you're the type of person who likes that tactile feeling when you're deploying and utilizing a therapy, whatever that might be, then you may enjoy the more impulsive flavor of PEMF. And the thing that's really interesting is that when you can feel it hitting your body, so to speak, for lack of a better term, if you're on the bed or the chair and you start to get, you may even have some feedback where you're feeling it in more in a certain area than the other area, maybe a side versus another side. Now, you can ask the administrator, hey, doc, or hey, you know, whoever you're getting the session from, how come this shoulder's going like crazy and I feel it so much here and I don't feel much on this side? And the answer for that is because this is where the body is taking and accepting and absorbing the energy more for whatever reason. And that is one of the rare, if not maybe the only thing that I've ever heard of that as quickly and tangibly allows the patient, the user of the PMF, to listen to what their body might be saying to them. And I think in terms of the impulsive PMF, the type pulse puts out, I think that's the big, it might not be the draw, but it's what keeps people coming back because of that type of signaling, that type of engagement that it brings out in even the user. And it's hard. You're a health coach, you're a wellness coach, you're a functional coach. You know that it can be challenging to get people to follow their own program sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
The one that they know they need. And for some reason, they're just not following it. But if there was a way to get them to engage with the signals their body's giving them and the progress their body is sort of giving them feedback on, it's very helpful and unique. And I think people love that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I have to say that more is not always better. And as I have learned a little bit, I am really, really excited about trying it again. And I want to go back to pulse. So I do have my own PEMF mat at home. And you mentioned that about 90% are the mats, like the home units and things like that. And then the other 10% would be the more professional grade types of PEMF.
I wouldn't even call it professional grade. I would just say different. Sort of there's a spectrum in terms of frequency versus impulse, in terms of just resonant, non-tactile, no sensation versus, you know, regulatable sensation can be very aggressive. So the sort of tangibility, tangible experiential feeling of it. There are professional offices that have both. Mm-hmm. There are private consumers that have both. So I wouldn't necessarily delineate professional versus sort of consumer. I would say just in general, taking all markets into consideration, about 90% are sort of the lower intensity frequency resonant based mats of PEMF versus the 10%.
Okay. And then in wrapping up, I have a couple questions, but one is, who is it not for? Is there anyone that you think, maybe not? I would think if I'm pregnant, that's going to be a no-go. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely the contraindications are pregnancy, any type of implanted medical device that's electronic. So like a pacemaker or a cochlear implant or an insulin pump. So we're not talking about, we're only talking about devices. We're not talking about your hip replacement or your knee replacement where you have titanium or metal. That's all fine. That's not contraindicated. So matter of fact, a lot of people who use PEMF have had those replacements because they have dealt with those things and they want to be able to strengthen the tissue surrounding those implants so that it doesn't atrophy and they get their motion back and they get their energy in that joint back. So that's not a problem. The only other thing we typically look for that's a big one is anyone with an organ transplant because PEMF can boost the immune system and we don't want to have any issues of potential rejection like that. And then as far as like a timeline goes, if people have just had surgery, we normally say, let's let the body start to knit together in terms of the surgery site and give it about 10 days to 2 weeks before you, get on PEMF, get on Pulse again.
Okay, that's great. As far as implanted medical devices, you discussed those, but the Oura Ring is not implanted, but that has never been an issue. I've never had an issue wearing mine on the mat.
Neither have I. And sometimes I remember to take it off. But again, if it's a customer, I normally will say,
even on airplane mode?
Just to be safe. On airplane mode, I don't know. I don't know if airplane mode necessarily has, because if it's going to go after the electronics, it doesn't care probably if it's on airplane mode or not.
Okay.
Because we're talking about a strong magnetic field kind of washing through the area. So think of it like an EMP potentially in that regard, in that specific regard. So yeah, I usually use my Oura Ring and I usually use my phone too, but I don't want a customer to experience any malfunctioning or anything like that.
Okay. I just want to see the restorative time.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. If I pull up my restorative time for the last week, it'll show it was either when or right after I was sitting on Pulse in my morning session.
I wasn't sure because the sauna is something that actually registers as a stressor simply because I'm sitting still, my heart rate's up, and it thinks that I'm just sitting there probably spiraling. But it is a hormetic stressor, as you know, that it's not bad in that way. It's just is more better. So I think that that is another thing to think about as well.
Sure.
Okay. So let's say that I want to try Pulse. You can get PEMF mats at home. But if I want to try Pulse, is there a database where I can look it up and see who might have it in my area? Is this in all 50 states or what's the latest with that?
Yeah, I would say we're in all 50 states and some international countries. We don't have a huge international presence. We are in several countries, but I would say definitely all 50 states. The way you find Pulse, the easiest way is to just go on the Pulse website, which is pulsepemf.com. There's a locator tab. You just hit that, you put your zip code in and it'll pull up everybody in Scottsdale, everybody in LA, everybody near you. You can always reach out to us directly and ask us, but that's probably the easiest way to do it. And
okay,
the
great.
Quickest way.
What about on Instagram for Pulse and for you specifically, if you feel comfortable sharing yours,
because
you're so good at answering questions. You've always been so willing to respond to any question that I have. And I'm not always gentle, but you're so patient and you're like, that's a great question. Like, I'm happy to explain it to you. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. We love what we do. And so when you love what you do, it's like not work. And you know, you do it all weekend long and at night and sometimes too much. For Instagram, I would just say, you know, Pulse PEMF on Instagram for the general company information and what they put out. If you're looking to work with a specific person that can consult you on private ownership or for a wellness business, we'll configure the exact right solution for you. We'll answer all your questions about return on investment, how to package it, all the business type questions, along with the functionality type questions.
Right.
You can reach me on Instagram at Lahote Joe. And I really, what I try to do on all of my channels, whether it's my Substack or my own podcast where I'll put up videos or the Instagram, I usually just try to educate people on PEMF because it's new to most people. Whether you're trying to do it at home and be a private owner and just enhance your overall family's wellness strategy with a foundational tool like cellular energy, or if you're running it as a business and you really want it to be a top performing service line, you know, in your wellness business and really enhance everything else you're doing from a technology side, nutritional side for all your patients. We can put together programs like that. And so Lahote Joe on Instagram, but really easy ways to share PEMF since it is so new to most people, even chiropractic, as we talked about earlier, being most of our market. And a lot of chiropractors haven't yet even heard of PEMF. That's my main goal, is to just give people easy to understand concepts around it.
What is the name of your podcast? I'm a raising tides rises all ships type of gal. So
totally.
If that's something that people want to hear, it's not my area of expertise. It is absolutely all day, every day. Like, you are lit up about it. It's so amazing. So what is the name of the podcast and where?
Yeah, mine is called Resilient Business with Joe Lahote. I haven't put up a bunch of episodes recently. Okay. I was doing it for a couple of years, but mainly interviewing clients on the Pulse side, and not all about PEMF, a lot about their different wellness businesses and different practices, different businesses. And recently I've been interviewed more than I've been interviewing people, which I tend to enjoy more this way.
Yes.
So fun, a little more fun, a little less preparation, a little more just kind of flow.
Yeah. So. And then last thing, .card, that's a website?
Yeah, that's just a place where it's one link and it's to all my channels. Okay. So if you just wanted to put that up, it's just .cards. So .cards/ Joe Lahote.
Okay, perfect. I will make sure we have that in the show notes. And anything else that you want to leave listeners with as we sign off? Any final words?
No, I think this is awesome, by the way, and I'm glad we finally got to put it together. It's been a lot of fun. You ask great questions. I know that you love to have people have their own freedom and their own freedom to do what they want to do. I think something like this fits right into just a holistic approach to wellness, where you're not outsourcing your health and wellness long-term of yours and your family to really any institution if that's not what you want to do.
If that's not what you want to do. If you do want to, go for it. But
yeah, go for it. You know, but I appreciate some of the things that have happened in the last 4 years have turned people's attention to maybe taking a little more ownership of it on themselves and the way, and maybe looking at it from their own decision making being somewhat important in a lot of ways in any part of their life, not only their healthcare. I just love the way that we're kind of aligned on that, and you know, we can just kind of be part of the same tribe along that line.
All about options. Do what's right for you. I don't care if that works for you, doesn't work for you, but one thing you and I absolutely agree on is everyone has the right to decide what they're going to do with their body and their health. But that also means that you have to take personal responsibility for your health.
You have to own it. Yeah. So let's hope you're thinking critically when you make some of those decisions.
Yes. Right? All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and make sure to check out Joe and PEMF. And we'd love to hear your thoughts if you want to share. So thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you for listening to the Ashley Taylor Wellness Podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and leave a review, ideally a 5-star review if you loved it. All of this is free of charge to the listener, and your reviews allow me to grow and bring on more amazing guests and to run the podcast. If you take a screenshot and tag me, I'll repost you and shout you out on Instagram. So tag Ashley Taylor Wellness and let us know what you loved about the episode. I'd also love to hear from you, and I'm open to any feedback, as I want to make sure I provide as much value as I can for you all. email me at ashley@ashleytaylorwellness.com. And if you have any ideas or topics for guests, I am all ears. I will leave you with this disclaimer. This is not medical advice or a replacement for seeking medical care. Everything discussed on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Always consult with your medical provider before making any changes. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.